The processional hymn 317. Father all-loving, you rule us in majesty. The order of service begins with the opening greeting on page 201. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Let the whole earth stand in awe of him. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says: you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets.
Lord, have mercy on us, and write these your laws in our hearts.
God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins. to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to lead, to keep God's commandments, and to live in love and peace. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Almighty and everlasting God, increase in us your gift of faith that, forsaking what lies behind, we may run the way of your commandments and win the crown of everlasting joy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Old Testament reading is from the book of the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 31, beginning at verse 27. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of humans and the seed of animals. And just as I have watched over them to pluck up and break down, to overthrow, destroy, and bring evil, so I will watch over them to build and to plant, says the Lord. In those days they shall no longer say, the parents have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. But all shall die for their own sins. The teeth of everyone who eats sour grapes shall be set on edge. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another, or say to each other, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from the second letter of St. Paul to Timothy, chapter 3, beginning at verse 14. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from what you learned it, and how from childhood you have known the sacred writings that are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who is to judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I solemnly urge you, proclaim the message. Be persistent whether the time is favorable or unfavorable. Convince, rebuke, and encourage with the utmost patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not put up with sound doctrine, but have itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander away to myths. As for you, always be sober, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, carry out your ministry fully. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The gradual hymn after which the young people may withdraw for Sunday school, from Thanks and Praise, number 174, Your words to me are life and health.
Thank you. Hear the Gospel of our Savior Christ according to St. Luke, chapter 18, beginning at verse 1.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, "In a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city, there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, 'Grant me justice against my opponent.' For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, 'Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice, so that she may not wear me out by continually coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen, ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Grant, O God, that through the written word and through the spoken word, we may behold the living word, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Some words from the Gospel passage for today, St. Luke chapter 18, verse 8. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? A question I've been asked at different times in different confirmation classes is this: why do people still believe when prayers are not answered? And this is a valid question. During the Rwandan genocide in 1994, a group of pastors and their families were among those taken captive. They wrote appealing for help in these words: "We wish to inform you that tomorrow we will be killed with our families." Their appeal for help went unanswered. Their prayers for safety were in vain. When such events take place, Jesus' teaching in today's gospel reading is, to say the very least, difficult. Jesus talks about prayer being answered in such unambiguous terms that one has to ask the question, what about when prayer is not answered? What about those times when one has been like the woman in the parable, but there has not been a response? Four verbs in the reading can help one's thoughts. Pray, lose, keep, and grant. Pray, lose, keep, and grant. St. Luke chapter 18, verse 1 says, Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always. Prayer was part of life in Jesus' time. People had a belief in the constant presence of God. In the present time, it is different. Beliefs have changed. Praying always now ought to be about an attitude, about a state of mind. Praying always is about more than saying one's prayers. It's about having a constant conversation with God, about acknowledging God's presence all of the time, not just when one goes to church, not just when one chooses to pray. Praying always means seeing God not as someone who is remote and detached in our lives, but as someone who is there as a friend. Praying always is about accepting that God knows the whole of one's life, not just those parts one prefers to talk about. Praying always means being honest with God and, of course, honest with oneself. Praying always takes courage because in talking to God, there is no escaping the reality of oneself. Praying always, taking part in a conversation, is a statement that God is there, even when he does not seem to have answered. Jesus says to pray always. The second verb is lose. In verse 1, Jesus tells them the parable about the need to pray, but also that they are not to lose heart. Losing heart would have been easy for the disciples. If one reads the 6th chapter of the Gospel according to St. John, after the feeding of the 5,000, one sees how many of those who had followed Jesus drifting away as soon as his teaching became more challenging. Follow the story of the days leading up to the crucifixion, and one sees how the crowd changed. One can see how easy it would have been for the disciples to have lost heart. Sometimes losing heart is easy. Try something a number of times and it doesn't work. So give up. Like the crowds in the incident recorded by St. John, people drift away when things become too challenging. But if one has been praying always, if one has developed a friendship with God, one knows that, like a good friend, he is always there, and one knows that prayers do not go unheard. Like a friend on whom to lean, God will carry his people along so that they should not lose heart. The third verb is to keep. The unjust judge in the parable neither fears God nor respects people, but he does like peace and quiet, and he does like not being disturbed. In verse 5, he says, "Because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming." It's an odd way to think about God, as if he were someone who needed to be nagged. Perhaps Jesus is pointing to a need for persistence, telling the disciples that if they have confidence in God, they will persist in their faith, even in those times when they can see no response. Jesus saying that confidence in prayer is not just about losing heart. It is about carrying on, even when there is no sign of an answer. If they had given up, to whom would they turn? When Jesus sees the crowds drifting away, in St. John chapter 6, he asks the disciples if they want to go too. And in verse 68 of that chapter, Peter answers, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life." Like the woman in the parable, one keeps going because if one doesn't, where else can one turn? And the final verb is grant. In St. Luke chapter 18, verse 7, Jesus says, "And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them?" What did the disciples make of these words? Particularly when they suffered for their faith, what did they make of the promise that God would grant justice, that he would hear and answer prayers? What would those Rwandan pastors have thought about that promise? It is the most difficult of the four words. One can understand the need to pray always. One can understand the need not to lose heart. One can understand the need to keep asking because one is confident. But Jesus says, God will not delay. What about those times when God has delayed? What about those times when he doesn't seem to have heard those who have cried out to him day and night? The only answer is to say that it is a question that cannot be answered. All one can do is say that as Christians, hope extends far beyond this life. All one can do is to say that one believes that God works in his own time, and the day will come in this world or the next when all of the prayers find their answer. He will quickly grant justice to them, says Jesus in verse 8. In God's scheme of time, quickly may mean now, or it may mean in eternity. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Asks Jesus. May he find us as people who try to pray always. May he find people who try not to lose heart. May he find people who try to keep up their requests. May he find people confident that, whether it be here or now, or whether it be on the last day, God will grant justice. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Faith in the words of the Nicene Creed on page 205. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, of heaven and earth, and of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us, our salvation, he came down from heaven, was garnered by the and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear the prayers of those who ask in faith. Lord of your people, grant to your church the power of the Father, the saving love of the Son, and the guidance of the Holy Spirit to preach the gospel to all nations as you have commanded. Preserve the church from false teaching and keep her in her inheritance of faith. We pray for this diocese and for David, our bishop, for this group of parishes at the beginning of a new season of activity. Following our diocesan cycle of prayer, we pray today for the parish of Bangor Abbey and the rector, Canon Ronnie Nesbitt. We pray for ways of re-establishing links with our young families in an upcoming generation. Give to all Christian people the wisdom to meet others in their need and bring them to you. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of creation, take the ways and thoughts of this present age, correct what is wrong in them, and convert them to your loving purpose. Give wisdom to all who have power and influence in disputes between and within nations, especially our own. Bless Charles, our King, and all in positions of responsibility in both church and state. We pray for the Prime Minister, Liz Truss, the Secretary of State, Chris Heaton-Harris, the government and all public representatives, both at Westminster and Stormont. We pray for President Michael D. Higgins, the Taoiseach Micheál Martin, Tánaiste de Leo Varadkar, and the government in the Republic. May all in positions of responsibility consider the greater welfare of the country and not only their own interests, and inspire those who can relieve human need with the compassion that was in Jesus. Bring the whole world closer to you in desire for peace and better understanding. We pray for those seeking an end to the conflict between Russia and Ukraine, where people and nations fall apart in dissension. Secure them on the firm foundation of your power. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of our relationships, we pray that the children of our own families and those of our friends and neighbors may be brought up in the knowledge of faith. Bless the teachers who serve the children of this community. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of all healing, come in power to those who have not heard the message of salvation. Give light to those who are in darkness and ignorance. Turn the hearts of those who resist your love through indifference, pride, or false assurance of their own strength. Be with those who are sick or suffering, as well as with those who have any special need. Deliver all who know danger, violence, or oppression in the war-torn and conflict-ridden areas of the world. Be their strong defense in times of need and keep them from harm. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of eternity, we remember the departed, especially all who have labored so that your word might be known in this world. May they rejoice in the fellowship of the apostles whose teaching was their guide in this world. Accept our prayers through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. We stand. Christ is our peace. He has reconciled us to God in one body by the cross. We meet in his name and share his peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you. The hymn number 400. And now, O Father, mindful of the love that brought us once for all on Calvary's tree.
Of the love.
The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Father, almighty and ever-living God, at all times and in all places, it is right to give you thanks and praise. And so with all your people, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and singing. Blessed are you, Father, the creator and sustainer of all things. You made us in your own image, male and female you created us. Even when we turned away from you, you never ceased to care for us. But in your love and mercy, you freed us from the slavery of sin, giving your only begotten Son to become man and suffer death on the cross to redeem us. He made there the one complete and all-sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. He instituted and in his holy gospel commanded us to continue a perpetual memory of his precious death until he comes again. On the night that he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks to you, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Therefore, Father, with this bread and this cup we do as Christ your Son commanded. We remember his passion and death. We celebrate his resurrection and ascension, and we look for the coming of his kingdom. Accept through him, our great high priest, this our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, and as we eat and drink these holy gifts, grant by the power of the life-giving Spirit that we may be made one in your holy church, and partakers of the body and blood of your Son, that he may dwell in us, and we in him. Through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty Father, forever and ever. Amen.
The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ.
Draw near with faith, receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood which he shed for you. Remember that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Christ, keep you in it.
All praise and thanks, O Christ, for this sacred banquet in which by faith we receive you. The memory of your passion is renewed, our lives are filled with grace, and a pledge of future glory given to feast at that table where you reign with all your saints forever. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. I am delighted to say that last Sunday morning's coffee morning in support of Christian Aid raised the sum of £121, and our grateful thanks to all who supported it. Tomorrow night, Monday, in the parochial hall at 8 o'clock, a meeting of the Mothers' Union, to which all are welcome, to what promises to be a very interesting talk on Belfast in the 1960s. On Wednesday and Saturday evenings, the bowling club meets in the hall at 8 o'clock. Sunday next, the fifth Sunday before Advent, at 10 o'clock, service of the Word and Holy Baptism, with Sunday school taking place during the service. Next Sunday evening, at 7 o'clock, there will be Harvest Thanksgiving in Mara Hamlet. The service will follow the format of readings, anthems, and hymns for harvest, led by Bailey's Mills Accordion Band. This proved a very enjoyable occasion when we had it here last month. So you are warmly invited to a second bite of the cherry on Sunday next at 7 o'clock in Mara Hamlet. The recessional hymn, 324, God whose almighty word, chaos and darkness heard.
On you.